Shavua Tov Mevorach. Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is daf Pei Zayin, which is as good as gold. And we're about one third of the way down. And remember, what we've been talking about is someone who potters his wife from needing to take a neder or a shvua. So we were talking about yesterday what exactly was this referring to. We had a number of different cases where she became a woman who runs his grocery store. She becomes an apotropos on his business, or she becomes a manager. And then the differences between cases where he pottered her, the language of the ptur, whether he pottered her, what exactly would it mean pottering her from, even from the need for swearing on a ktuva, on a pogemet ktuva? Does it apply even to yorshim? Does it apply even to people who bought the ketuvah from it, so on and so forth? And today, we continue really with the same sugya, but we want to first talk about what is the lashon that is effective in pottering her from a neder or a shvua. So suppose when he lists his properties and so on, he adds the words, which just seems, you know, it's not even really grammatically correct. It's not clear what it means, but it's, he used the words delo neder, v'delo shvua, without need for a neder or a shvua. So in other words, this is the closing words of his commitment, as it would appear. So then that would only mean hu'eino yochol hashpia avol yorshim mashbin ota. That does not imply that she doesn't have to make a shvua ever. It just says that she can collect without a shvua, without a neder, since it's not clear what he's referring to. It may be specifically as himself. So we're not sure. So the yorshim, therefore, can be mashbinota. Suppose he uses the word, again, it's like a little bit strange grammatically, but he says, you get these properties, naki neder, naki shvua, free of, literally, clean, right? So you get it clean without any need for shvua or any need for neder. So then he means that she is completely and totally, like we say, naki min hachasav, bal hashar naki, right? So that means that he's cleaned out, that she doesn't have any kind of chiyuv at all. And that would mean that he doesn't get a right to make her swear if she's collecting, but neither would his heirs, because he said it's without any type of chiyuv. So then nobody, because basically what he's telling her is that minakit mishvuata, you are cleaned out from any need, from requirements for a shvua, whereas Rabbi Yosef quoted Rabbi Chiya as saying that you're right about the first part of what you said, to lo neder v'delo shvua, means like you understood. He cannot make her swear, the Yorshim can. But if he writes naki neder, naki shvua, that could be interpreted as saying something else entirely. That could be interpreted as saying you must make yourself naki through neder or through shvua, in which case there, even he could be mashbiyah, because he might simply be saying naki nafshech b'shvuata. By taking a shvua, there you will be able to collect, because then there won't be any type of suspicions, and there I won't be able to taina against your ktuvar, whatever I owe you. Shalach Reb Zakkai lamar ukva bein delo shvua bein denaki shvua bein delo neder bein denaki neder. No matter how it is that you phrase it, it depends what you said it on. Remember that this statement itself doesn't mean a darn thing. I mean, so did he say b'nichsai delo neder or b'nichsai niki neder? If he said b'nichsai, so then hu eino yochol hashbia v'yoshim hashbiin otai, he's referring to my things. So as you come to take away my things from me and the tvi'as against me in court, so then I'm telling you that I will not make you swear. On the other hand, if he wrote the words niki or below, he wrote it with the attachment to the words minichsaya ilain. He had a list of nechasim. He said, in these nechasim, these are the nechasim that I'm being meshabed, niki shvua. So then it doesn't matter whether you said below or naki. If you said either way, it would mean ben hu ben yorshim ein mashbinota, because he specified, look, these nechasim are out of neder and shvua. So, okay, it doesn't matter how it is that you're going to be able to get them. Omrim Nachman or Mashmu, Mishum Abba Shaul ben Ima. So he put it, this ben Ima Miriam, the Abba Shaul, who's was a hush of a woman, apparently. Ima is a title, basically. So everybody would call her Ima Miriam. And this is, in this version, we're going to see that there was even a tzad, that maybe there was a brisa, but over here it's an itmar, and it's just the maimorim of Amoraim. Bein delo shvua, bein de neki shvua, bein delo neder, bein de neki neder, bein benichsai, bein benichsai yilein. Whatever language you use, bein hu u bein yoshin ein mashbi inota, I am telling you that as far as my opinion is concerned, meikar hadin, she really would not have to take a shvua in any event. However, unfortunately, I cannot apply my own ruling, because avoma eeseh sharei amru chachamim ha'bal yipara min nechsei yetomim lo yipara ela b'shvua. Look, I mean, there's nothing I can do. What I'm saying is that I would have said, if it wouldn't be for the fact that there seems to be a straight out takana d'rabbanan, that if you're collecting from yitomim, there is no way to collect without a shvua. So therefore, if what we're talking about is the nechse yitomim, I would have to agree that it won't help to make any of these stipulations, because that way you were trying to cancel the takana d'rabbanan. Now, there's a machlokas over here, by the way, halacha l'maisa. As we're going to see, we do paskin like this, with the way that we just quoted Abba Shaul ben Ima Miriam. But the question is, what precisely was he referring to? Was he referring to the specific cases that we just said? Because the Rif says those specific cases, he didn't openly say that, I'm telling you right now that even if you have to collect from my Yorshim, you are not going to have to make a shvua. But suppose he would have said that. Suppose he actually would have said those words. So the riftain is that that basically Abba Shaul ben Ima Miriam was saying that only where it's unclear and it's not 100%, it would just be the mashma'ut. So there I would say he's not canceling the takana d'rabbanan. But if he openly says that I don't want to avail myself of that takana and you can make my yorshim swear, so then ein achinami. I'm sorry, you can't make my Yorshim swear, so then ain't Ochinami. It would be Chal. Anyway, that's the sheet of the Rif L'maisa. Almost all of the Rishonim, including the Rosh, argue on him, and they understand that Abba Shaul ben Ima Miriam was referring to all of the cases, even where it isn't 100% spelled, even where it would be 100% spelled out. The Ikari Amrila, by the way, some people say that it was a Brisa, and it wasn't the Amora. So it was a Brisa itself, and some read it in the Brisa. Bein delo shvua, bein enaki shvua, bein delo neder, bein enaki neder, bein minichsai, bein minichsai ayilein, bein hu, bein yoshav, ein mashbiinota, avoma eese, hare amru chachamim aboli para minichsai yetomim, lo yipara la bishvua, and omrim nachman amashmo, that's the halacha, halacha kebein imam Miriam. And as we just noted, it's a machlokas how far this psak extends. Okay, we are ready. Sir Richard, unfortunately, is really scared because the doc came up right back bang in the middle of the screen. So it looks like he surrendered. You're on, doc. Man, oh man, it's been a South African Shabbos for me from beginning to end now. And I spent the whole Shabbos with a South African kiddush. They don't call it a kiddush, right? And then we had South African davening. We had South African last night. My gosh. Okay, it was like a full day. So you put a beautiful end to it. So, continues the Mishnah. We've been talking about a pogemet ktuvah, and we talked about the fact that if a woman says, you paid me some of my ktuvah, but you didn't pay me the rest, that's called a pogemet, And in that case, unless, of course, the man wrote that no matter what, you're going to be potter from a shvua. So then, lo tiparai ala b'shvua, she is not believed unless she makes a shvua. And now, of course, on the surface, the first thing that this strikes you, I'll bet, is that this is a bit of a mix-up. In other words, she says, you paid me some, you didn't pay me all, so it sounds like a motive of mixas. A motive of mixas needs a shvua. The Gemara is going to discuss that possibility. How about, and this makes it even stronger, how about if a witness comes along and says that the shvua was, the ksuva was paid, even though she still has a ksuva, and she says it wasn't paid. So this sounds like another case of a shvua d'oraisa, right? Because an eid echad is mechayev a person in shvua. So it looks like the Mishnah is trying to set up two cases that are shvuas d'oraisa. And the truth is that it's doing that to challenge our thinking, as we're going to see. And the other cases where she's going to have to swear, she wants to come and take her ketuva away from nechsei yitomim, or let's say all of the property was sold. And now she has to take it away even from people who had bought it. So it's nechasim mishu batim. Or let's say that her husband is not around. Her husband has disappeared and she is suing. She gets a ksuva from overseas. And nobody paid her a ksuva. So she's suing without the presence of the defendant, which, as we'll see, is not something that you might normally be able to do. And so in that case, she needs to make a shvua, because in all cases where she could have, when if she were directly attacking the individual, her husband, who she cannot attack because he's dead, or and therefore she's coming to his yatomim, or who she cannot attack because he's out of town, or she's not attacking him because she's coming to collect from the chasim that are both in other people's rishus who bought it years before, in all of those cases, we have a klal, and that is a gavi klal, and it's called ptach picha li'ilein. Open your mouth and speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. So in all of those cases, the defendant's not around, right? But if he were around, he could have said, what are you talking about? I paid you your ksuva. So therefore, the yatomim, they don't know, but the bezdin will make that taina for them. The buyers of the property, they don't know, but the bezdin will make the taina for them. The baal is not here, the bezdin will make that taina as if he were here and he was claiming. And therefore, in these cases, because of ptach picha li'ilein, therefore, she is going to automatically have to make a ketuva, because it's as if the baal had in fact said that he paid it, because we have to take the worst possible issue into account, and that is what he might have said. Okay, now let us explain each one of these cases. When we talk about a pogemet ketuvah, what exactly do we mean? Well, let's say that her ketuvah was for Elev Zuz, and Amarla, he says, you know, I paid this whole thing to you. And she says, what are you talking about, man? You paid me 100 zuz. You owe me 900. Lo tipara ala b'shva. She's only going to be able to get the rest of it if, unless, of course, he had written her out, as we said in the previous Mishnah, that Niki Shvua, or so on and so forth, fine. Or Ainli, he spells it out to her, that Ainli Alayich Lomedev Lo Shvua, and so on. Fine. So in those cases, without such a document, she's going to have to make a Shvua. What's the next case? The next case was an Eid Echad. So an Eid Echad comes along and says that your ksuva was paid, woman. And the ksuva was 1,000 zuz. And he says, yes, the whole thing was paid. And there's a witness. And she says, I didn't get anything. And there is that witness. So then it's the same thing as if she had been pogemet ktuva. And there too, the idea is that she would have to make a shvua. Here it isn't clear, by the way, in the Rishonim about whether it would have helped to say Niki Shvua, even if an aide came along, because that may not have been what he had in mind at all. So there are Rishonim who say that even so it's included. The next case, She's going to collect from someone who had bought the property from the husband years ago, and she's taking it away from the lekuchot. So there too, she has to swear that it was not paid, because it's as if the Baal himself attained it. Here too, by the way, there's a question whether you can make a stipulation with her that even if she's collecting from lekuchot, that this pater from Iksuva, because how would he have the right to pater the lekuchot? I mean, she's taken away from somebody else. So all through the sugya, Rashi has been taking it for granted that you can, but it is not clear how that is possible. And many of the Rishonim say, like, what would give him the kayak to pater her from a shvua? So lo tipara ala b'shvua. Now, what's the next case? Well, the next case is she's collecting from the Yatomim. Okay, so this case, the husband died. All of his estate was left to the Yatomim. She's coming to collect her ktuva. Exactly. So she cannot collect unless she makes the same shvua. And because he could have claimed that he paid her. They don't know. This guy went away somewhere and he's not going to be appearing in court in response to a summons. And because of that, we act against him. He has to be able to respond to a summons within 30 days. She's not mechuyevet to wait more than 30 days. That's the din of a summons. So if we have indication that he is far away, he's not going to be able to get here, so then we just go away after him. And she's nifrat shelo b'fanav, but then she's in a nifrat ela b'shvua. Now Rabbi Shimon argues, but it is not at all clear what he's arguing about. And he says that kol zman shehi tova'at ktuvata, whenever she is claiming her ksuva, then hayorshim mashbi'im ota. But if she's not claiming her ksuva, in hayorshim mashbi'im ota. Now, the simplest way to understand that would be that if she's coming to collect, let's say, mizonot from the estate, then there's no din of taking a shvua. If she's coming to collect her ketuvah, then there is a din of making a shvua. We're going to see that the Gemara is going to go through many different interpretations and be medayik that the language of the Mishnah is really difficult to fit into a case. But just to, at least it should make sense, what Rabbi Shimon is saying, let's take that as sort of a working possibility. Okay, so what
time is for a drink?
I don't see you offering anything. Take a look at Zoom. What genius. All three drinks are all taking place, one next to the other. I mean, is that unbelievable? Gosh. Anyway, so Rami Bar Chama, and he seemed to take for granted what we thought, namely that this Mishnah is basically setting things up for a Shvua D'Oraisa. Now, Shvua D'Oraisa is very different from a Shvua D'Oraisa, but at least according to Rashi, it's actually big, because Rashi does in many places. According to Rashi, Shvua D'Oraisa requires Nikitas Chefetz. You have to be holding a Dovah Shel Kedusha. You're holding a Sefer Torah, and it's using the Shem Hashem, or one of the Kinuyim, and a Shvua D'Oraisa doesn't require any of that. Furthermore, Shvua D'Oraisa, this everybody agrees on, that a shvua d'oraisa, you can be mahapech the shvua on the other person. Say, if you make a shvua that I owe it to you, so then I'll pay you. But you can't do that on a shvua d'rabbana. Okay, but whatever the differences are, does this hold the same thing is true on, about the Nikita Schefetz and so on a shvua d'rabbana. But in any event, what's the mucker? I mean, we're not really concerned that much about the difference. What we want to figure out is, where does the shvua come from? Is it a specific takana, or is it just a classic mode of a mikzas? So Rami Bar Chama, looking at the Mishnah, said, well, I mean, seems to be a shvua d'oraisa, right? In other words, this guy claims that I paid off the entire ksuva, and this woman says, you only paid me half. Exactly, right? So now she wants the other half. So isn't that hoda'a b'miktzas hataina? And wherever you have hoda'a b'miktzas hataina, you have a shvua d'oraisa. Torah said b'feresh, yishava. So it seems pretty clear We don't need a mocker for the Shvua. Omar Rava, it's absolutely wrong. Totally wrong. And I'll explain to you on two separate issues that show that this is wrong. Number one, show me anywhere in the Torah where we have a concept of making a Shvua and using that Shvua to collect money. The cases in the Torah, you make a Shvua that you don't owe the money and you don't pay the money. And over here, you're telling me that the woman is going to make the Shvua and she's going to be able to collect the money. That is not a Shvua d'oraisa, excuse me. Kol ha-nishba'im shebat Torah, nishba'in velo mishalmim. And that is a rule that deserves Gavi treatment. So that kol ha-nishba'im shebat Torah, nishba'in velo mishalmim should be part of our list of issues. In this case, the woman is being nishba'at, and then she goes and collects based on her Shvua. Furthermore, another Gavi issue. Ein nishba'in al kvirat shi'ibud karkaot. We learn out from the pasuk that the Torah never demands a Shvua on something that is a claim against karka. And since over here, that's exactly the point, because the woman is collecting based on karka, and that was the whole idea of the shi'ibud of the ketuba in the first place. So how do you think it could possibly be a d'oraisa? It's obviously not a d'oraisa. Now, it's weird that Rami Bar Chona would have made such a mistake. And in fact, the Ritva writes that Rami Bar Chona never said that. He meant that it was patterned after Shvua d'oraisa. People who took Rami Bar Chona, they thought he meant it was literally a Shvua d'oraisa. So that is okay. There are other explanations of why he wasn't convinced by Rava, but this is the most reasonable thing. Elo Amar Rava, it's a different type of Shvua. It's a drabbonah. It isn't even patterned on a Shvua d'oraisa. And here's the deal. When you pay back something, so you usually are very medayik how much money you're paying back. But the guy who's getting the payment is not as careful about what it is that they were paid. Because basically, the question is, you are always dreaming about the rest of the payment. Whereas over here, you're hurting at what it was that was paid. So therefore, it makes sense that Ramu Rabbanan Shvua Allah Kiecha de Teduk. We want her to be keeping an Excel sheet and to know exactly what's going on. I mean, it's the kind of thing that can happen. You know, she goes and she says, listen, you know, I really want a new iPhone. I'm sorry, I can't afford an iPhone. So why don't you just give me a little bit of my silver for the iPhone? Then she doesn't remember exactly how much that was and whatever, you know how it is. So because of that, we want her to know precisely what it was, whenever she's going to do that kind of thing, because you could just imagine she's got her ksuva 10 times over meanwhile, and she thinks she just borrowed a couple of dollars against the ksuva. It's classic, right? Okay, so that's the point. So then let me ask you something. What about if she has witnesses? In other words, she brings witnesses. The witnesses say that the guy paid in front of them 50 shekel out of her 200 shekel ksuva. And the guy says, yeah, that's true, but I also paid you at other times the other 150. So basically, you got the whole thing. I didn't have witnesses there. So what's the din over there? Do we say that? Now, wait a minute. He has already paid up the first 50 with Aiden, right? So then if he was really going to pay up the other 150, the way he says, so then he would have gotten witnesses for the rest of it. I mean, he was careful to have witnesses for the first part, and he knew that she could come after him. So it's awfully suspicious that he doesn't have witnesses for the next part, especially in the very fact that he had the witnesses make him look very bad when he doesn't have the witnesses for the rest. So maybe in that case, we should say, she doesn't have to swear. It's clear to us that you're not being honest. Or it could just be that there happened to have been witnesses. You can't claim that just because there were witnesses to a payment, that that means the guy would have been mocked, but to see to it that there's always going to be witnesses for his payment. So maybe they just happened to have been around and he took advantage of their presence, but he himself wouldn't have been running around looking for witnesses. Well, let's see if we can bring a raya from this brisa. It says like this, Toshma, kol anishbaim shebat Torah, nishbaim velo mishalmim. This, of course, is the rule that we just learned. Actually, this is a Mishnah that says this part. But there are people that do go and make a shvua, but it's all minarabana. And they make a shvua, and they're using the shvua to collect money instead of not having to pay the money. So what are these cases, these unusual cases? Well, first of all, a sakhir. So somebody who's been hired by you, he claims he hasn't been paid. The guy who hired him thinks that he has been paid. So over there, we created a takana because we understand that a person who's hiring people, he may have like 30, 40 people he's got to pay out. He got confused. He doesn't know who. And therefore, in this case, we trust the worker who's basically, this is his whole livelihood. This is the only thing he's thinking about. And because of that, he can make a shvua and use the shvua to actually get money. How about a nigzal? Somebody who has obviously been burglarized. We saw the burglar go in. We saw him carrying the classic burglar sack on his back, you know. I mean, it almost had a sign on it. I am a burglar, you know. But we had no idea what was inside. So now the victim claims, you know, well, he took my beautiful golden menorah for Hanukkah, whatever. So in that case, if we know that you burglarized, then this guy can make a shvua as to what it was that was actually taken from him. What about a nechbal? We have Aiden that see this guy ringing the doorbell, walking into his friend's house, running out 5 minutes later, bleeding and broken. And the guy in the house says, Chas v'shalom, I would never have attacked him. Anyway, something is awfully suspicious. And therefore, in that case, the person is believed if he says that you hit me and you got to pay. The other case would be, where sikenegdo choshur ala shavua? So now somebody was chayev me a shvua in order not to pay me, but he can't because he has in the past made a shvua sheker, shvua shav. And the halacha over there is that the person who was supposed to accept the shvua in lieu of money, he can make a shvua and he can collect the money. And achen v'nial pinkas so. So this was a situation where a guy says to the people that are working for him, listen, guys, you can go ahead and get money from my good friend, the makolet man. I don't have any money. And he tells the makolet man, pay up these people for me. And the makolet man says, okay, here's what I paid. Here's the list. He comes to the people and the people say, what are you talking about? He never gave us a dime. You owe us everything. Well, the crazy situation that guy got himself into is that they can both collect from him. The Poalim can say they've never been paid. We said that the Sakhir can make a shvua. And the Chenveni can swear that, listen, I laid it out and it's right here in my cash register. In all of those cases, this guy's going to have to pay twice. Hapogem shtaro below edim. Now, here's the thing that we want to try to use bring raya from. Somebody, so this is the case of the woman, basically. She's pogemet shtara. And it specifies without Aidim. Uh-huh. Doesn't that mean Dafka without Aidim? So over there, we say, okay, if she was Pogemet without Aidim, so then I understand that he has to swear that it wasn't paid. But Aidim, Mashman it over here, if there were Aidim, so then there's no need to be Nishpa. That's the answer to your question. You said that the guy looks awfully suspicious in the event that there were actually Aiden. So in this case, Lechora, you do not have to make a shvua, says the Gemara. Not necessarily. Because it could be actually saying a bigger chiddush. Lo mi boika amar. In other words, I don't have to tell you in a case where there are aiding, and therefore there was no way that she could deny getting half of it, right? And she wants the rest. It's over there. She needs a shvua because, you know, she didn't do anything nice for us. But in the other case where she comes along and she says, well, I received half of my ksuva, but I didn't receive the rest. Gosh, she didn't have to say she got anything, right? Because she's got a shtar against this guy. And if she's coming along and admitting that she received some of it, it seems awfully nasty to say because she's been such a good girl, so therefore no good deed goes unpunished, and now she wants to collect the rest of it, so now she has to take a shvua. That's the point. She would have thought it's the other way around, that she should be considered a meshiva veda. The din is, let's say somebody gives you back a wallet that you lost. You open up the wallet and you say, hey, wait a minute, there's only $100 in here and I had $200 in the wallet. In that case, the halacha is that the Rabbanan pater all chiyuvim, because again, that's the good Samaritan laws, right? So, I mean, we don't think Samaritans are particularly good, but in any event, around the world, they make these kind of laws to avoid the sense that you're going to get in trouble if you help anybody. So maybe this should be Tishko B'lo Shvuah, since she was Maida, that she only wants half of it, so then she should be able to collect it without taking a Shvuah. Kamashma, even this way, you would require Shvuah, but it certainly doesn't have to mean only this way. So because of that, we can't use the Brisa as a Raya. And because of that, Halacha L'maisa, she's going to need to make a Shvuah, even in the case where we were talking about the situation with an aid. Yibaylu. Now, how about if she's pogemet ktuva with pachot pachot mishava pruta? This woman not only kept a very careful Excel sheet of everything that she had been paid of ksuva, she actually added two additional zeros to the right of the decimal point. And that way, when she was adding up, it wasn't $5.03, it was $5.325. So she keeps this Excel thing and it's full of these, oh my God, these tiny little bits. And in the end, she says, well, all in all, my bottom line on my Excel sheet is that you paid me 99 shekels and 23.01 agurot. Okay. So now, in that case, does she still have to take a shvua? I mean, we said before that the only reason she was taking a shvua is because women aren't careful at keeping an accurate record. I mean, this woman is nuts. She's keeping an insanely accurate record. So maybe in that case, she should actually be believed without a ksuva. Or do we say, yeah, she didn't keep any record. She's just really a very brilliant phony. And she knew that it looks much better if she can give an accounting for even half cents, right? So why should we believe her? Dilma irume komarma. She may be making things even more sneaky by pretending to be so careful. Teku. No clear answer to that one. Now, how about if she's pocheta teksuva? Well, how can you be pocheta teksuva? She's coming to collect with the written ksuva, right? Yes, yes. She has a ksuva that says 1,000 shekel. And the Baal says, your ksuva was completely paid. So she answers, as we're going to see in the Gemara, you didn't pay me a dime. However, you don't owe me 1,000 shekel because the ksuva, this is not a real shtar. The ksuva was only a normal 200 shekel ksuva, or 100, and we wrote out 1,000. So you don't owe me 900. You owe me 100. So is that the same thing? Mao, miyamrin hainu pogemet? Odilma pogemet. Listen, where she's pogemet, she has been made of a miksas. So she just said, you did pay me something. But here she's saying, you didn't pay me a penny, right? So it could be that there is a different similarity to the inyan of made of the miksas, the entire structure of Meida B'Mikzas, where we know that the Torah understands that there's conflicting feelings in a person. So maybe that's why we made the takana. Tashma, in the case where she's pochetet, says the Baraisa, then tipura shelo b'shvua. She definitely does not need a shvua. And that's your answer. What do we mean by pochetet? Ketzad? Well, let's say her ketubah is written out for 1,000 zuz. And he says, you got this entire amount. He's got balt ketuvatech. And she says, you did not pay me anything. However, you don't owe me more than 100 because the entire ketubah was only for 100. Nifrat shelo b'shvua. Now, this is a big problem. How in the world can she collect a ksuva? On the basis of what, says the Gemara? On the basis of her ksuva? The woman has just admitted that her ksuva is fraudulent. The ksuva says 1,000. She says, nah, there never was a ksuva. All right, so in other words, you're saying that your own shtar of the ksuva is mizuyaf. So how can she use a mizuyaf document to collect her ksuva? She has no claim at all. She admits that it's mizuyaf, right? So, but my gavya, but I shtara, chaspa be'amahu. This shtar, legally, is a piece of broken pottery. What are you, crazy? How can you bring a thing into court where the person who's supposedly using it admits that it's a fake? That doesn't make any sense. Oh, my rava, bereda rava, that's not the case. She does not say it's a fake. She says, it's a perfectly real shtar. I said in front of witnesses that we both said, okay, we have a ksuva for 1,000 shekel. It was very important for my husband to show that he's writing out a big shekel. So, okay, fine. So I went along with him, but he made me promise I would never use it against him. So it was basically a shtar amana, right? He was ready to trust me. And indeed, I'm trustworthy. I'm not going to use this to collect the full 1,000. However, the 100 that it really was for, that he never paid me. So in that case, since the shtar amanah, but it's a real shtar because she said, yes, he owes me 1,000. And she says, owes me 1,000. And therefore, it would be a kosher shtar even to go after nechasim mishu'ubadim. So fine, look, there's all kinds of reasons why either he or she would want to have a big ksuva. People do this all the time. They inflate the ksuva because it looks good. It makes them look rich, or it makes her feel, or she's able to show her family that says, what are you getting married to this useless guy? What are you talking about? He gave me ksuva for $1,000,000. This guy is worth a lot of money and he loves me, and so on. Okay, so that's what it was all about.
The father said to me as the rabbi, isn't my daughter worth a 500,000 shekels? Right, so.
Very good. Okay, the next case that we had in the Mishnah, remember the Mishnah went through all of the cases. So the case, the Mishnah went and explained, where Eid Echad Me'ida Shipru'ah, she still needs a shvua. So here again, Rami Bar Chama was understood to have said that this is a classic, and we pointed this out when we read the Mishnah. This is a classic Shvua D'Oraisa. One witness comes against you, and therefore, even though that one witness can't be believed against you, but the one witness we learn from the Pasuk is believed to cause you to have to take a Shvua. Because it says in the Pasuk, Lo yakum me'ed echad be'ish l'chol avonu l'chol chatat. From there we learn, l'chol avonu v'l'chol chatat eino kam. But he could be Mechayev you a Shvua. And as we learned in a Braita, if two witnesses would have come along and they would have paskid the din of your payment, then one of them is Mechayev a Shvua instead. And that's exactly the case in the Mishnah. If we would have had two witnesses, they would have said, you already got your ksuva, that's it. She would have been booted out of court. But one witness is Mechayev her to swear. Omar Rava, same thing, absolutely crazy. Shtei tshuvot v'davar. First of all, kol ha-nishba'im sheba Torah nishba'im v'lo mishalmim, and this woman is nishba'at v'notelet. And furthermore, I've already explained this to you, you cannot have a shvua d'oraisa on kviras shibud karkaot. And therefore, it can't possibly be a d'oraisa. Yala Omar Rava, this is a drabbanan. What is the basis of this takana that we make her swear? Kedei lahafiz da'ato shel ba'al. In cases where somebody has a very good basis for being believed, the guy says, I can't believe this. You're not accepting my witness because of the small print that this is on karka. And because of that, I'm just like being ignored. I'm telling you that you're taking my money and I paid every last penny of this. I'm outraged. So what we do in such cases where a person has a taina, except that they can't use it, what we do is the Rabbanan made a shvua necessary in order for the individual who feels wrong to say, well, at least the court took me seriously enough to be mechayev her shvua, and she made, and maybe, who knows, maybe I forgot. Omer of Papa, yeah, but if the guy is smart, he could really mess her up. He could make her do a shvua d'oraisa. Rami Bar Choma is wrong, or didn't mean to say what people think he was saying, that this literally is a shvua d'oraisa, but look how easy it would be to turn this into a shvua d'oraisa. Because all he needs to do is he takes another witness, he pays her the ksuva again, and then he brings the two witnesses, each one saying, this guy paid her a ksuva, Samich Sahada Kama Sahada Basra. And then he says, well, now, wait a minute. You should know that that first payment was a loan that she has to pay me back. That wasn't for Ksuva. I never said that's for Ksuva. You saw me gave her money, right? Okay, you thought it was for a Ksuva. It was a loan. I want my money. Did you see me give her 100 shekel? Yes, well, I want it back. What are you talking about? You can't use the first witness and join him up with another witness that saw two completely different events and use those two witnesses as one event. That's crazy. How could you possibly do that? Anyway, it's not as crazy as it sounds, because Lamaitse, the Gemara, says elsewhere that there are cases where it's possible to put together two witnesses, if it's an inyan of momentous, where the bottom line is going to be the same, you can put together two witnesses. Bottom line is he paid 200 shekel. So, I mean, the way to understand this is that you can't, once you do that, meaning you've used the two witnesses up, how can you come along and use the first witness to say that she's chayav on a loan? What is either it's the either we're using it as one of the two witnesses of the ksuva, or it's a separate loan, but then we don't have two witnesses that she paid the ksuva. We're back where we started from. So how in the world do you say that if the guy's smart, he'd be able to do this? There is a way to do it, but you didn't say it right. He says, Rav Shesha, the way to do it is like this. Alom Rav Shesha Bar Ravini, what you can do is you give her ksuva again, in front of both of them, in front of the original witness and in front of this new witness that you're taking. And then you can make the first witness from the first transaction where he saw me give her 100 shekel, you can bring that witness as a separate transaction and say that was a loan. Maske Floravashi, what do you mean that was a loan? She can say, I had two separate ksuvas. You gave me an extra ksuva because you wanted to add to the ksuva. That was for the first ksuva. This is for the second ksuva. So then that means there never was a loan, and now she gets to keep both of them. I don't think that that's a very smart thing to do. So how are you helping him? Yeah, there is a way to do it, but you better make darn sure of telling the witnesses before you pay of what the events were. Okay, here's what happened. Okay, I'm going to give her this money in front of you. But if that's the case, let's make it very clear. That first payment is not towards a ksuva. I'm telling you right now, I am paying it specifically for the ksuva and not for any second ksuva, which didn't exist. So then, okay, if the Adam understand that this is what's happening, so then they're not going to come along and say, oh, we saw him pay. It must have been for ksuva. It must have been for ksuva. Now they know that it wasn't for the ksuva because he paid the ksuva separately. Okay, Rabosai, that puts us ahead a little bit and gets us a good start on a week. It's almost as good as Vayi Noam. And therefore, what a wonderful, sweet week it should be, Bezrat Hashem. Thank you so much. It's great to see everybody. It should be a week of Besuras Tevas. And of course, the best Besuras Teva is Salachti Kidvarecha. So, Bezrat Hashem. Kol Tov. Looking forward to see you tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem.